Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a conversation we've been looking forward to having for quite some time now. Ever since this Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform first got up and running here in Montana, and then once they, started announcing some of their proposals, they looked at the problem, they identified the problem, and then now they're coming up with proposed solutions to the problem, how to clean up our judicial system here in Montana, and just this crazy bias that we see going on right now. There were a couple of headlines 1 week ago. Republican lawmakers release their proposed changes to the judiciary. That was one headline. Another headline, Judicial Oversight Committee asks for 27 bills. And of course, I was out for a few days on vacation, and then the lawmakers were busy in Helena doing leadership elections and the like. So I thought, let's do a show on this down the road. Well, that day has come, and we're so pleased to have Senate Majority Leader-elect State Senator Tom McGillivray in studio with us this hour. Senator McGillivray, thanks for joining us. Good to see you.
You bet, Aaron. Good to be here, and thanks for having me in.
Talk about timing, though. I mean, we've had this on the calendar for over a week now, and look at what the Montana Supreme Court just did yesterday. They made our case for us. This crazy ruling where they basically said it's okay for parents to abuse their kids. It's okay to chop body parts off of kids when they ruled against Senate Bill 99. This is crazy.
Yeah, Aaron, it is crazy. And, we protect kids. The Montana Constitution gives us that clear ability to protect children with laws, and we simply did that. We say, hey, you just can't chop the breasts off a teenage girl. You can't mutilate kids. And, if we had a parent that was chopping the fingers off a kid because they were disobeying, the Child Protective Services would come in and take that kid out of the home. And this is no different. You can't mutilate a child and destroy their life forever. And then for the court to say the legislature's acting in bad faith because we passed a law like that, how disingenuous can you be?
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I mean, you and I were talking off air, so it's like, wow, I guess if the state of Montana needs to save a bunch of money, you can just do away with Child Protective Services altogether now, because according to the Montana Supreme Court, there's no such thing as child abuse because, hey, privacy.
Yeah, there's two competing rights there, but of course the state has a vested interest in protecting children. Think about it in the big picture, Aaron. Look at the birth rate in the United States at 1.7. You don't have any kids, you have a society that's going down. And you got to protect a child's ability to produce, to have children in the future. And when we're mutilating kids like this, you're destroying their health, you're destroying their sexual reproductive health.
Yeah, an absolute crazy decision out of the Montana Supreme Court. And they're showing that they want to be legislators, not jurists, not justices on the Supreme Court. So I think this is just going to fuel more calls for the very types of reforms that I know you're proposing and looking at. So we'll start there. We'll talk about judicial reform coming up right after this quick break, right after this, right here with Montana Talks.
Great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I have a reaction here from Montana Governor Greg Gianforte and from Senate President-elect Matt Regeer on the Supreme Court ruling on SB 99 yesterday. I think I'll save that, though, for later in the hour, because, I agree with Senate Majority Leader Tom McGilvery here. Let's start big picture on why did the legislature feel the need to create this Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform. Let's start there, Senator.
Okay, Aaron, that's a great question, because if you go back when I was first elected 20 years ago in 04, so when I got into the legislature, the legislature was split 50-50. And over time, we could pass some bills, the Democrats could pass some bills, and we were pretty much neutralized each other. But over time, by my third term, we basically got strong majorities. And so the legislature was able to pass bills that the people wanted because of who they elected. But you'd have a governor like Schweitzer or governors like Bullock that would veto 120 bills a year after we would pass them. And then, of course, the state of Montana said, enough of that. We're going to elect a Republican governor like Governor Gianforte, who actually starts signing some of those bills. And so now what you have is a court that's acting as a de facto governor. They're vetoing bills that the people want. The people have sent the legislatures, the Republican legislators, into Helena to pass these types of bills like Senate Bill 99 because it's common sense. And then you have a court essentially veto them. So, and then, as you remember, in 22 and 23 and in 24, you begin to have all these court cases where the court is vetoing legislative acts, acting as a de facto governor, and the legislature had enough. And it wasn't just vetoing it. It's vetoing bills and having partisan demagoguery, you know, disdain, absolute disdain, as we found out in 21 when we discovered all those emails between judges. It's not just for lawful reasons. It's because they have a disdain for the legislative majority.
We've really seen, for folks who have watched the lawfare directed against President yeah. Donald J. Trump, and where these kangaroo courts were solely focused on simply trying to take him down. I mean, the injustice that was committed against Daniel Penny, the young man, yeah. the young Marine veteran. This is, unfortunately, the system of injustice that we've seen from this very partisan Montana Supreme Court and a lot of these district court judges, too. So how do we take the politics out of it and just get justice, just get fairness? So there's some really good ideas in here. I mean, one of them, for example, is, hey, what if we created kind of like how we have a water court in Montana? What if we create a constitutional court in Montana? So those district court judges in Billings and Butte and that are dealing with all these crime cases and these fentanyl cases and everything else, well, they can focus on that stuff. Let's leave these constitutional matters and these state governance matters to a court that specializes in that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. If you look at attorneys, all attorneys specialize. I mean, they have a particular area of law that they specialize in because the law is very broad and complex. But then you get elected as a district court judge, and you're dealing with every area of law. So, like states like Wyoming in 2019, they established what's called a chancery court. And that's a court that deals specifically with business issues. Texas has had a constitutional court where they just deal with constitutional issues. So a specialized court would take weight off the district courts to deal more with the criminal aspects that we've struggled with. And that's a subject for another day. There's so much going on with crime in Montana, particularly in Yellowstone County. We need these judges to be able to have the time to move those cases through.
And a business court idea, that's another a proposal. So this isn't all even just focused on state government, political type issues, or how to remove the bias from our courts. There's also just common sense business practice stuff like, hey, what if we had a specialty business court? Just like you have at the federal level, you would have a bankruptcy court that focuses on bankruptcies, right?
Yeah, and you have like the Delaware Chancery Court. That's a court that's been around since the founding of the nation. Why do you have so many corporations domiciled in Delaware? Because they have a business court that focuses on business. It's consistent. Everybody knows the rules. They know what's going to happen. You come to Montana and you have no clue what's going to happen. And that's why businesses are not thriving here, and partly.
And back to the big picture here, too, the Montana Supreme Court, and there's data that backs it up, has been described as like basically one of the worst courts in the entire country. I know former University of Montana constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson, who's down at the Independence Institute now, has documented this in particular.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And Rob is helping us with these, with a lot of these bills. So these bills are not thought up with ill will. They're thought up of how can we structure the judicial system in the state of Montana to better serve the people and their needs.
Well, and I've talked with even like Democrat county attorney. I've talked with folks that work in our justice system. They all feel overwhelmed. They all say they have too many cases in front of them. They don't have enough staff. Their staff are overworked. So it's like, it also comes down to, like, how do these courts and these justices have time for all these political games? Like, don't you have a bunch of more important things to be focused on right now?
I hear you. No, I think that's true. In a tertiary court or a business court, and it would deal with constitutional questions. You know, a lot of these judges, they don't spend a lot of time understanding, knowing, and learning the Constitution or specializing in constitutional law. So this court, the judges would be appointed by the governor. So the Constitution of Montana in Article 7 gives us the ability to create law and different courts where the governor would appoint those persons, and he can be looking for people that are specialized and knowledgeable about business.
Would they be Senate confirmed as well?
So and confirmed by the Senate.
Basically the same way our federal judges and Supreme Court justices at the federal level are nominated and then confirmed as well. Yeah, this makes sense. Makes sense. All right, hold that thought. More to follow.
We'll be back with the Best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
After this. Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
At Renewal.
Hey, you're listening to a Best of Montana Talks.
294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me sneak this in right now, and then we can come back to SB 99 and the Supreme Court's ruling here a little bit later in the hour. But, yeah, Governor Greg Gianforte issued this statement following this temporary hold that was allowed to continue to stay in place against Senate Bill 99 by the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. Governor Gianforte saying, quote, "I am deeply disappointed in the ruling from the Montana Supreme Court to issue a preliminary injunction on the Montana Youth Protection Act, which aims to protect children from permanent life-altering medical and surgical treatments. As this case moves forward and as the U.S. Supreme Court considers its decision in United States versus Scrimeti, I hope the courts will do the right thing and protect children from these experimental procedures." Senate President-elect Matt Regeer, Senator Regeer out of Kalispell, saying the Montana Supreme Court ruled that transgender procedures can continue being performed on Montana children, while litigation over Senator John Fuller's SB 99 from 2023 continues to play out. Here is the reaction from Senate President-elect Matt Regeer.
"Once again, our Montana Supreme Court has ruled with radical liberals at the expense of common sense. Our Montana children should not be going through irreversible transgender surgeries. Montana legislature will continue to fight against this crazy wokeness and against Montana judges that are activists and out of control."
All right, and Tim in Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. It kind of makes a good point here. He says, "Aaron, if a child identifies as a fish and a parent holds that child underwater to affirm the child's chosen identity, would the parent be charged with murder when the child drowns? Apparently not, according to the Montana Supreme Court. So long as it was some sort of affirming care." Our Supreme Court is as supreme as a burrito supreme from Taco Bell. That was from Tim in Billings. So, yeah.
That's crazy. It just becomes incredulous what's happening with some of these court decisions. You know, you have furries and accommodating furries in high schools. And I think they just ought to serve them up dead mouse on their trays at lunchtime, you know, and see how that flies.
Yeah. But it's a pattern. You talk about, you know, just a series of incredulous. It's like instead of Lemony Snicket's a series of unfortunate events, it's just Lemony Snicket's, you know, a series of incredulous rulings. They're just a partisan arm of the Democrat Party, just constantly trying to overturn laws that the Republican-led legislature and governor put on the books. And it's a lot of common sense stuff. I mean, like election law stuff, voter IDs, you name it.
That's one of the reasons for the Select Committee. You had Democrat Party versus Jacobson, where we had multiple bills. One, you should have to show an ID if you're a college student. We should move registration back one day. I mean, the Montana Constitution, and I'm going to read it to you, the legislature shall provide by law, the requirements for residence, registration, absentee voting, and the administration of elections. It may provide for a poll system registration and guard the purity of elections. That's our constitutional mandate. So if we want to move registration back a day, that's purely in the prerogative of the legislature. But the court says, no, we don't like that law. We're going to make our own law. Or you don't have to show an ID if you want to prove you're a Montana resident. Listen, I had to show an ID when I picked up my mail the other day. I had to show an ID when I boarded a plane last week. I had to show an ID when I check into a hotel room. These are basic common sense ideas. They're not
the Democrats at their own Democrat National Convention. And where were they? Chicago. They had to show a photo ID to get into their own convention. And it's like, but they don't think that people should have to show a photo ID to vote in elections in a valid. I mean, it's just absolutely crazy.
This is a pure partisan action by the courts. And then that's why we are looking at a bill to require judges to run as partisan. Be transparent. Show your true colors.
Or allow them to. You don't even need to be required, but allow people to run under a certain party affiliation.
Yeah,
we'll
debate that in the legislature. We're going to allow it, or are you going to require it? That's a debate for the legislature, the political question. And frankly, we've had too many judges trying to call themselves nonpartisan when they're truly very partisan. And these types of rulings over and over and over show their partisanship.
Well, if a man can be a woman, then a partisan can be a nonpartisan. So they can identify however they want.
I guess that's true.
Such a sham, though, isn't it? Such a sham. Let's see. Before we get to a caller, and by the way, phone lines are open. If you want to jump in on the conversation here as well, 406-294-0970. But back before Thanksgiving, we had a great guest on the show, a gentleman by the name of Andrew Bilstein. He is a lawyer in Billings, and he has been one of the citizen members of this Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Reform. And I really loved hearing his take, because he's not a Republican. He's not really a dependent. He kind of joked that the Democrats would think he's a Republican, and then the Republicans would think he was some, you know, Marxist Democrat or whatever, depending on the topic. But he just said what he really liked about the reason he got involved in this Senate Select Committee was because he said, well, I read in the paper that the Democrats weren't even going to take part in this conversation. And he's like, well, somebody should take part in this, because there's some good things that we can do to reform our courts and to reform processes. And so, again, whether you're conservative or this or that or whatever, he just said, as a lawyer, there's just some good things we can do to improve our court system, our legal system. And so one of the things he really liked was this evaluation commission, where you set up a separate commission where if there's a judge that's not carrying their weight or kind of screwing up a little bit, there's an evaluation commission that can kind of help with accountability there. Now, if you're a lawyer out there, no matter what your specialty is, yeah, you'll probably see a judge that might be, you know, fall a little short or can't really get it right or whatever. Well, you would want to have somebody holding them accountable, right?
Yeah, and it's the bill. It's a Judicial Performance Evaluation Commission that we're setting up. I'm actually going to be carrying that bill this session. And as legislator, the most common question I get during election season is, who are these judges? I know nothing about them. I don't know where they stand. I don't know what they think. I have no idea how to vote. So, and you know how you get a voter information pamphlet in the mail at the election season to tell you about the pros and cons of different initiatives. Well, what we'd be doing is setting up a commission that ultimately would evaluate judges on objective standards by attorneys who can anonymously fill out surveys, by jurors who are part of the court that can talk about the demeanor of the judge. Were they biased? Were they showing, were they making sexist comments like a judge that we found out about over in Western Montana? These things would be, the judge would be evaluated on a lot of different objective metrics by jurists, by court observers, by attorneys, and we'd ultimately come up with a system where they can say, well, this judge ranks 2 out of 5, and he's a terrible judge. And the voters would have that information on election day, so they could make an informed decision.
I think that judge you referenced in Western Montana who had those comments that came to light, I think that was the same judge that voted, that ruled to allow crazy people in Warm Springs to be able to vote, even though they were convicted felons assigned to Warm Springs. It's like, wow, okay, judge. Hey, judge.
Yeah, people need informed. They need to be informed, and that's what they want. They want information that's objective, and this commission would basically be 11 members appointed by the Supreme Court, by the governor, by the speaker, by the president of the Senate. And you'd have an objective commission that could help evaluate judges for the people.
Well, I see the phone calls, the phone line's starting to fill up here. So let's get to some phone calls after the break. I also want to get your take on impeaching and removing judges and justices. That's a big question coming up today, especially after this SB 99 decision. First up on the phone lines, Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, this is short and sweet. We the people, it says, must relearn desperately a needed lesson in civics. The only power a judge has over you and over the juror is their ignorance. And unfortunately, for many years now, we've been so ignorant when it comes to the law and how important you are it is. I have used this quote many times. All law which is repugnant, and this, what you're talking about, is about as repugnant as you can get to the Constitution, are null and void. Now, you have Marbury versus Madison, and you have many other laws, so no one is bound to obey, even the judge, an unconstitutional law.
It's kind of like, okay, well, thanks for your opinion, Judge, in some of these circumstances, right? Because the legislature has stood up to the courts in the past where the courts have said, well, here's what we think about blank. And it's like, okay, well, thanks for your opinion. But
now, his quote comes out of Marbury versus Madison, that famous case where the judges say we have supremacy to say what the law is. That's not what Marbury says, and I carried a resolution on that last session. You know, if a judge makes a ruling that's repugnant to the Constitution, that has to be corrected, and this is what the legislature is doing. It's making some corrections in course to call these judges to account and hold them to accountable, and make them accountable.
All right, let me see if I can sneak in one more quick phone call before we get to the break. Candy in Missoula. Candy, did you have a quick question or comment?
You stole my thunder, Aaron. And
sorry about
the
that.
Other caller stole my thunder, too, because these judges should be unilaterally impeached. They should, don't mess around with it. Just impeach them, because it's John Adams says our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other.
All right, great quote, great phone call. You actually teed up the next topic that I'd like to get to. So, Candy, thank you so much for your phone call. Pam in Billings, plus soon-to-be commissioner, but still a state senator, Brad Molnar, on the phone lines as well. So more of your phone calls right after the break.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund. Happy New Year, everyone. As we look to 2025, the majority of agricultural economists in the latest monthly monitor says U.S. ag ended 2024 in a recession. Farm Journal reports that 56% of ag economists responded yes to the question of a recession. The newest monthly monitor asked economists what they'll be watching for here in 2025. One of the biggest is the potential of a prospective tariff war, which they say is being downplayed despite published research measuring the expected damage range. They're also looking at farmer attitudes toward non-traditional land uses, including CRP, solar, and other forms that help boost their incomes. There is also worry about the Brazilian real, which is depreciating and could lead to more U.S. competition. Also this year, there's a chance that cash rent prices may stay constant despite a downturn in crop prices. Farm incomes vary greatly by region, and the economists say southern farmers will struggle the most. And a strengthening storm is expected to bring snow, ice, and possibly severe thunderstorms to parts of central and eastern U.S. states as it slides across the country this weekend into early next week. AccuWeather experts forecast an Arctic blast that will bring waves of bitterly cold air to much of the eastern half of the nation. I'm Lee Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Candy brought up the I word, Candy in Missoula. I want to see every one of these justices impeached or recalled, you name it, talking about these justices who ruled against SB 99 yesterday. And really just, you know, the lemony snickets, a series of incredulous decisions that have come out of this, you know, biased Supreme Court here. So as I understand it right now, Senator McGilvery, Majority Leader-elect McGilvery, it's a very high bar in order to impeach or remove one of these officials. And it has to be very specific. There has to be a very specific criminal action. But they could rule against the Constitution all day long, and that wouldn't necessarily, couldn't necessarily trigger an impeachment. They could make all sorts of outrageous decisions. They could be a blank check for the Democrat Party all day long and Planned Parenthood all day long. Doesn't matter. It has to be a very specific criminal action. So I understand you guys are looking to make some changes to what else could be considered for impeachment.
Right. The Montana Constitution says impeachment as can be done for misdemeanors or malfeasance in office. Where those words are kind of nebulous and arcane and archaic. In other words, no one really knows what do they mean. So I'll be carrying a bill on impeachment standards to try to update them a little bit to use words like corruption or incompetent or misconduct in office or oppressive use of office or negligence in duty. And someone might say, well, you're making it too easy to impeach a judge. No, I'm not, because you still have to get two-thirds of the legislature. But we need to have words that mean something to the modern-day person. So we'll look at increasing, improving the impeachment standards with a bill. But I have to say this to Aaron. There are a lot of good judges in Montana.
That's right.
I don't want to sit here all day and beat up judges. There's some bad legislators. There's good legislators. There's good judges. There's bad judges. And if we have a bad judge, you should impeach him. And you should have a bill that can, or a law that can allow you to do that in an effective way. But again, you got to get two-thirds. I just want to say that I know some very good judges in Yellowstone County and other counties, and I don't want to sound like I'm just beating up judges. But the Supreme Court has made some incredulous decisions, and they need to be held accountable. That's what we're trying to do with that commission that will evaluate judges.
Yeah, it is kind of unfortunate when you talk about that, because it's just like there's incredible FBI agents, but
yeah,
the stain from the top is putting a stain on all of them right now, unfortunately, in the public opinion eye. Same thing, same thing in our courts. When you get this stain at the top of the Montana Supreme Court, it takes away the honor from
Your Honor, in all of your various counties, because then people start to get skeptical of all of you. And so if you're a judge, you would want there to be some more ethical boundaries here so that it improves the way the public views all of you. That's a really good point. Let's see here. There were a couple of other topics I wanted to get to here.
That leads me into the Judicial Standards Commission, which is a commission set up in the Constitution in Article 7 to make sure judges are honest, fair, ethical, and so forth. But ironically, the Judicial Standards Commission is being overseen by the Montana Supreme Court. And the Constitution gives the Montana Supreme Court the ability to oversee courts, but the Judicial Standards Commission is not a court. But if you have the Supreme Court, it's like the fox guarding the hen house. So what we're going to do with the bill is move the Judicial Standards Commission out from under the Supreme Court and put it with the Department of Justice. Then the Judicial Standards Commission makes their own rules. The rules are not made by the Supreme Court. So, well, just common sense stuff like that.
And then during the break, I threw out, and what about this absurd ODC, the Office of Disciplinary Counsel, that has been weaponized in lawfare against our great Attorney General Austin Knutson in similar ways that they went after Donald J. Trump. And you said, oh, we've got a bill for that, too.
Yeah. We do. Yeah, and It's a separation of powers issue here. The Supreme Court going after a constitutional officer in the executive side. And so we have a bill that just says that the court cannot discipline a constitutional officer. And it's that simple. And as you, the people are frustrated with that too, Aaron, with President Trump or with Austin Knutson. The court shouldn't be encroaching in that area of the constitutional law.
All right. Well, let's go next on the phone lines here. I think he's still a state senator until January before he gets sworn in as a public service commissioner once again. Brad Molnar, great to hear from you. Did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, gentlemen, I'm not sure if I'm going to get sworn in or sworn at, but it's going to happen.
Maybe both.
A lot of the conversation on this topic, and I set my alarm to make sure I could hear Tom because he's just so knowledgeable. But it's all, a tremendous amount of it has been on social issues. And I wanted to go into the financial impacts of judicial activism. On the recent rate case, the 28% that everybody's talking about, 40% of that is pass-throughs. In other words, the PSC has to charge it. A substantial amount, and that's quotes, I asked the PSC how much, they said it's substantial, we're going to find a figure right now, of that is from judicial mandates that overturned PSC rulings on rates for particularly renewable energies. And to give you an example, there's a thing called qualifying facilities, which is a federal designation. Part of that is that the rates must be acceptable to the public. So using the same formula that's always been used, the PSC has used that, and in the courts have overturned it and raised the rates of pay to these very small generators. Right now, ratepayers owe $100 million for QF energy. That's a debt that will be on their rates for a tremendous amount of time.
What a great example here of judicial activism, you know, and how it's costing you, how you're losing money out of your own pocket, not because of a decision that even your elected lawmakers passed or the governor signed into law, but judicial fiat here, where climate activism, environmental extremist activism out of the Montana Supreme Court is, through judicial fiat, raising the price of your electric utility bill.
Yeah,
great example.
Future Commissioner Molnar and past Commissioner Molnar has a good point there. And again, that takes me back to this Chancery Court or Business Court, because that jurisdiction of that court would have jurisdiction over permits, land use, constitutional issues, business cases, and so forth. So you have a court that's actually specialized and knowledgeable about these particular issues. So again, you can have consistent rule of law, operating throughout the state of Montana, which improves your business climate and attracts more business.
And we talk about, you know, the climate alarmists. Look, you've had the Held climate case. You've got other cases where they're trying to shut down the natural gas plant in Laurel. They're trying to have climate be considered with everything. And that's why, again, another reason why we need judicial reform. It's not just about protecting kids from getting body parts chopped off. It's about from them going after your electric bill and so much more. Let's see. One, I loved the response from Representative Braxton Mitchell out of Columbia Falls in reaction to just another incredulous ruling out of the Montana Supreme Court. He says, if they want to act like legislators, well, let's pay them like legislators. And then Lucas Schubert, Representative-elect Schubert out of the Flathead, said, we give them $20 million a year, I think it is. Maybe we need to cut their budget, too. But yeah, to this point, I mean, legislators are basically doing community service when they show up at the legislature. You don't really get paid to be there. Many sacrifice to be there. Maybe these Supreme Court justices should share in that sacrifice if they want to act like legislators.
Well, first of all, the Constitution does not allow the legislature to reduce the pay of judges. And I you know, going the other way on that, I think we should pay judges more. They'll be happy to hear that, I'm sure.
Might get better ones, yeah.
You'll get a better pool. Because if you're not paying judges well, you can't attract great talent. And so I'd like to see us pay judges more. The Chancery Court bill has judges being paid more than the Supreme Court. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pay the Supreme Court more, too. But I think that needs to be thought about. We need to attract good talent, and that's part of it. But back to the Held decision, you know, the justiciability of that case. You have a bunch of kids saying that they're being harmed. Well, show me the harm. And the legislature's attorneys, I don't think, really addressed that issue. But how is carbon harmful? I mean, it's absolutely essential to plant growth. If you don't have carbon, you die. And there should be I've heard that some legislators thinking about a minimum level of carbon that we should have in the atmosphere.
And if you're concerned about CO2 emissions, well, go talk to China. What are you doing bugging Colstrip or anybody else? Like Montana doesn't matter when it comes to the carbon dioxide debate. Go to freaking China or India or anywhere else for that matter.
I've been there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, another quick break here. This is our shortest break of the hour. We've got Perry in Columbus coming up after this. If you've got a quick question or comment, you can give us a ring as well before we run out of time. Just a few minutes left. 406-29.
We'll be back with the best of Montana Talks right after these messages.
Tom McGilvert.
You're listening to the best of Montana Talks.
Powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative. They do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, checking the messages on our Montana Talks app here. Greg and Big Fork earlier, with regard to the impeachment conversation, says, can we make a petition for incontinence or a recall? Was the question from Greg and Big Fork there. Morgan and Helena, the ballot asks about retaining judges. There should be an explanation of what happens if the majority is not to retain. Voters should know the option. Let's see. We'll talk more here. I know we've only got a quick few minutes left, but let's sneak in another quick phone call here. We've got Perry in Columbus on the phone lines. Perry, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. I certainly do. You know, I've been waiting for this discussion of judicial corruption in Montana courts, too. You know, conservatism and common sense are supposed to be in charge here because we, the people, put that in place at the polls. John Flip-Flop Flat-Top Tester is waddling over to K Street as we speak looking for a new job right now because of your radio show and the Aaron Flint's Army's work to expose and depose a total fraud that had been a rubber stamp for the radical left for 18 years in a Montana Senate seat. And speaking of frauds, we must all turn our attention to the rogue robed gods on Montana's Supreme Court bench and help our legislators and Corey Swanson remind them that the judiciary is not the dominant branch of Montana state government, and reprimand or even remove them for malfeasance if they continue to refuse to restrict themselves to their properly constitutionally confined role in our state's governing process.
Yeah, great point. We got to hold it right there, though, because I know we're getting really short on time. And I had another message that came in. Thank you so much, Perry, for that great phone call. Kestrel in Billings on another note here, and this is a topic I know, Senator McGilvery, you wanted to talk about here as well. Kestrel sent us a message. I don't think many Montanans realize that the judges they vote for that claim they are nonpartisan give vast amounts of money to the Democrat Party. I found out how many, which was most of them in Billings, most of the judges he looked at in Billings, are big contributors to the Democrat Party, donated very heavily to the Democrats. There were very few, if any, that donated to the GOP. And so this whole idea that, well, these are nonpartisan elections, oh, somebody's got to throw the BS card on this one.
I think it's basically the assumption that people aren't biased, that judges don't have any bias. And that's simply not true. Everybody has got a bias. Everybody's got a leaning somewhere. And I think one of the bills that we'll be bringing out of the select committee is a partisan election. Senator Emory Chadha of Great Falls will be carrying that bill. So I think people just want to know, they have a fair idea of what a Republican is and what a Democrat is. They're just wanting people to say, I'm a judge. I lean more toward the Republican ideas of limited government, free enterprise, individual liberty. I believe that, boys shouldn't use girls' bathrooms. I believe, Republicans simply believe that you shouldn't mutilate girls, chop their breasts off. I mean, these are basic ideas that Republicans and Democrats vociferously disagree about in the legislature. And if you're going to run as a judge, people should have some idea where you stand on big picture issues. And yeah, Right now we don't.
Well, it's like take one of the recent Supreme Court elections, Bitigeri versus Judge Wilson. Bitigeri is likely going to be a Democrat, reliable ruler, voter, whatever you want to call it. She was propped up by millions of dollars in out-of-state money, trial lawyers, Planned Parenthood, radical abortion activists, and everything. Judge Wilson is literally a good judge. I mean, he would have been a fair justice, good justice, but he didn't have the money to compete against her message. But here she is using the leftist of the leftist money to pretend to be nonpartisan. And there's enough people that fall for it because they hear the message. I do think, though, that TikTok, the clock is ticking on this mob on the Montana Supreme Court right now. I think they're the lagging indicator of the political change in Montana. Yeah. So I think eventually they all will be replaced, but they're gonna go out kicking and screaming with as much partisan rulings as they can in the meantime.
What we want from judges is we want them just to follow the law that the legislature has drafted. And I'm not suggesting that every law that legislature passes is constitutional. We make mistakes, but the judges oftentimes don't admit they make mistakes, and they've made some big mistakes. So what we want is fair. We want a judge that will look at the law and rule according to the law, whether he likes the law or not. That's not the point. The point is, what's the law?
Have these 27 different proposals that you guys are putting, and by the way, great job by you and these committee members that put this whole thing together. You put the work in. It's very clear. This is well thought out. And so hats off to you and everybody on that select committee. Are these full proposals written anywhere on the legislative website where people can go read every single one of them?
Yeah, you can go to committees and look at the Senate Select Committee on Judicial Oversight and Review. You can look at and see every one of them that is in draft mode, and they'll be coming out. They're all pre-introduced. So they'll probably be some of the first bills that we'll see in the session. And so we'll be debating those bills and working on them.
He's been House Majority Leader before. Now he'll be the Senate Majority Leader. Senator Tom McGilvery, great to have you as always. Thanks for your time. Are you looking forward to the session?
I am. Thank you.
All right. Well, keep us posted. And thanks so much for freeing up the hour of your day. I feel like we were just scratching the surface today. So we'll likely have to have you back on. But now we've got the primer. When the legislature kicks off in January, we've got a good idea of this reform that they're proposing.